Greetings and welcome back to Burning Locks. Today is Sunday, March 3rd, 2013. This is episode 5. I, of course, am your host, JC, and I'm here with my buddy, Rick.
Hello.
We're here to give you your weekly dose of Guild Wars 2 talk. Got some great stuff on the docket to talk about here today. But before all that, what you been doing?
I've been this week. I got through the new AC. I did Path 1 in there since the revamp. That was interesting. The end boss has like a little Ghostbusters type theme to him. You pick up these ray guns, and one person has to hold them using the orange stream, and then somebody has to shoot a green stream to pull them towards a trap.
Do you get a debuff if you cross the streams?
No, you actually have to have two streams on them to make it work. You pull them towards the trap, and then you charge the trap, and then you pull the boss over the trap. Trap blows up, and then you can actually attack the boss. It was an interesting mechanic, but it was very Ghostbuster-ish.
And suddenly, I want to play AC Path 1.
It was Path 2.
Either way.
But it was an interesting change. First time I'd done AC since the patch went through and they updated the bosses in there.
Nice.
It was neat. And other than that, continued on my dailies. You know, we did our dungeon run on Wednesday, as we typically do. We did a fractal. We did level 2 fractal for the first time. So we got to see a fractal boss for the first time. And we fought this big... Yeah, the Jade Maw, which took forever. We were learning the fight. I think now that we've done it, it'd be much easier to do it again, because everybody just needs to pick up a crystal and stand there until he shoots you.
Yeah, that's first time on it, it's always the toughest, right?
Yeah, but we got through it with Rosette's help. Thank you, Rosette.
Yep.
Then we ran COF just to quickly get some tokens there. And other than that, I maxed out weaponsmithing this week. I maxed out cooking this week. I've been a crafting machine this weekend.
As a result, your thief is now 55.
Yep, I got 280s and a 55 now. So,
booyah.
Coming over to the dark side with the thief. I don't know. I'll see when I get to 80 if I actually try him out in Worldly World.
Oh, you got to try him out in Worldly World. You are building condition, and that's probably the way to go while you're leveling. But when you hit 80, you got to try Glass Cannon, because it is just
the big numbers. You want to see the big numbers.
It isn't even so much the numbers. It's the stealth to them, finish your cloak and dagger, backstab, and then the F-key comes up to finish them. And it's like, whoa, that's kind of fun.
So, finish him.
Finish him. baby Ality.
Nice.
A little Mortal Kombat reference for you guys.
Yeah. That was my week. How about yours?
Dang it, you caught me mid-drink. my week in Guild Wars 2 is pretty good. I think highlighted by, well, obviously the patch coming in. We moved up a tier in World v. World, so that was my big highlight thing. And we held our own for the first two nights, and then this third night we're losing it. But it's a close game. Everyone's within 5,000 points of each other, so... If the week continues to go this way, it's going to be fun all the way to the end instead of us kind of walking away with it. Did a little bit of structured PvP today, tried out the new Spirit Watch map. That map is crazy fun. We'll get into that a bit more when we go over the show, the patch notes. But yeah, that map is wicked fun compared to some of the other maps. I really enjoyed it.
Cool.
Play more of my Mesmer. Love my Mesmer. I logged on to my engineer and really actually kind of took an honest look at how an engineer works and stuff. And I'm really kind of digging it now with the way their F keys line up with their utility skills and such. And as a result, she's level 10 now. So I'll be working on that a little bit here and there, but
Watching you play, definitely seems like a completely different play style. It's a unique character type to play.
Definitely a unique class.
So if you're not into the typical If the elementalists and the ranger and the warriors and stuff that didn't do it for you, you want something different, try the engineer. It seems like they're just a little bit I saw of you playing seemed like it was definitely a change of pace for people.
Yeah, and I'm only level 10, so I mean, that's I can't wait to see what it's like when it's closer to level 80. Oh, well, without further ado, we'll move on to our news segment, which is going to be kicked off with the patch notes. Of course, the patch went through on Tuesday. The Flame and Frost, the Gathering Storm. And there's... Now we're going to loosely run through the patch notes here. I'm going to skip over some of the stuff, and some of the stuff we'll talk about. Two new achievements, the Gathering Storm and Lost and Found, have been added to this, to your achievement pane. Also, those both incorporate the Living Story thing.
And you can't, I don't even think at this point you can finish Lost and Found. Because no. I think right now there's only two relics to find at this point in time. More will be added, I assume, later.
Yeah, I actually need to get out and do that. I've seen some videos of it, but I need to get out and do it myself.
I've done it. I try to get it done early with personal strikes. There's a lot of people running around. It's just easier to get it all done when there's a ton of people running around doing it.
Yep.
But it doesn't really, it doesn't take that long. And that's the same thing with the first patch of the Living Story. It's like, okay, we did it. It didn't take long, and we're on our way back to doing what we were doing before.
Yeah, but this seems like through these early months of this, it's a very slow burn. Like, just kind of setting up the story. Like the first patch really introduced some questions. Mm-hmm. And now things are getting slightly clearer, but more cloudy at the same time. We know it's the Dredge and the Flame Legion, but why on earth are the two of them working together? So, really kind of up in the air where this is going to go at all. Has the all the trappings of someone pulling strings of these races. Mm-hmm. So whether that's a Elder Dragon or what, we'll see.
They said it would be a dragon. I'm still putting my money on an elemental of some sort.
It could be. It could be.
Or a pair of elementals battling it out. Maybe one of them's controlling the Dredge, one of them's controlling the Flame Legion.
They're playing Risk.
Yeah,
the map of Tyria.
But I mean, yeah, the story is interesting, but the content so far hasn't been robust. Let's put it that way. It doesn't take long to pretty much do everything you're going to do with it and be back on your merry way to doing whatever you were doing before.
Yep.
So we'll see as they release future months and keep adding. And I guess I'm going to watch the Heralds and see eventually if one of them calls out that there's something new out there. Cause I would imagine you got to be able to finish that achievement at some point in time, but it's not there yet.
Yeah, I imagine somewhere in the process between here and the next patch, we'll get another, like something else will happen just a little bit, just shake things a little bit, and we'll get those other two relics available to us. The biggest thing I've noticed, and this is the next item, is the achievements, the Choose Your Own Dailies, which is, yes, it's Choose Your Own Dailies, I think I said it to you last night, it's the illusion of choice, really, because...
Yeah.
They give you 9 dailies, and you just have to do 5 of them, and they don't necessarily have to be the 5 you choose. They just, if you happen to get one done, it's done. So,
yeah. And it's not, I guess it's not what I expected. I thought they were just going to let us really choose our own daily, you know. they said, well, we're going to allow you to pick what content you want to play. It's like, okay, great. I can pick all the dailies that I want to play, and so that's not what it is. It's 9 randomly chosen.
Yep.
One is normally, one involves a jumping puzzle, which I'm not into. One involves, they've added more content than just PvE, which the old dailies used to be pretty much PvE focused.
Yep.
So there's more to do, but if you're still just trying to do them through PvE, not a whole lot has changed.
Yeah. And it really is, it is interesting because there you get stuff like the Kryta Slayer, where you got to go to Kryta and kill things in Kryta. And, me being a big World v. World junkie, the kill invaders in World v. World is, I forget what it's called exactly, but I choose that one every time it's up. And I went to choose the Aquatic Slayer. I went and did Aquatic Slayer because I was flipping the Quaggan. The Quaggan in one of our Borderlands. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do Aquatic Slayer while I'm in here. It took me all 5 minutes.
Yeah, see, this morning that was me too. The ones I took today stacked nice. It was Kryta Slayer and Aquatic Slayer. And if you go in Kryta where the Blood Witch is, you can kind of knock both of those off. And there was a third one too. Oh, condition. Condition was the third one.
Oh, so yeah.
I was just applying conditions, fighting in the water in Krita, and I was knocking off all three of those at the same time.
Yeah.
So it went fairly quick.
And that's, I've noticed there's been a couple of these days where I just knocked the daily out in like 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm done with it already? Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of nice. So
there are some advantages to it that you're not stuck with those five, and you can find some that stack well and get through them quicker.
Yeah. And the thing is it really is a, with them giving you nine of them, and you only need to have five of them complete, it really lends itself nicely to the, oh, I accidentally got that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you almost don't even need to go choose five of them. You can just go play the game, and you're going to rack up five of them. Seems like they really give you a nice dispersal there to accidentally stumble into doing your dailies.
Wasn't what I expected, but it's still a good change. It was a good change for the game.
You talked a little bit about the Ascalon Catacombs explorable mode upgrades.
Mm-hmm. I only did one, but I'm sure I'll eventually do the other two because I need the Ascalon tokens yet. So,
yep,
I'll get them. But the one I did, like I said, the last boss was definitely a nice change. A little gimmicky, but a nice change than just the tank and spank that they were before.
Yep.
And some things are hard. Like that, the one boss that we struggle with all the time, you know, he pulls you into the center.
Yeah.
They adjusted him so that he still does that, but he also now has adds that originally there were two adds in there that you could take out the adds and just focus on him. Well, now you can't do that because adds keep coming. So that fight actually got a little harder.
Yuck.
We got through it.
And they adjusted the event scaling a little bit to the four high-level regularly played events to monitor the feasibility of this system in the live environment. So high level events, you got to imagine the three dragon aspects, or not aspects, but three lesser dragon dudes. What's the fourth one, the Maw? I don't know what the fourth one is. It's high level. I just do the dragons.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they did the dragons. They said events that are common. They could have been the ones in Ore that everybody farms, the Penton Camp and all that.
Those ones.
Actually, I think the Pendant Camp one has changed because I was there last night for a little while with some of our guild members, and where there's normally veterans and regulars, there was a champion included.
Oh.
So they ratcheted up some of the mobs.
Yeah,
over there.
I saw someone in guild chat said that it wasn't too bad. When it's just a matter of learning the patterns again.
Yeah.
Because champion does something a little bit different. It's just like, okay, once you know, it's no harder than it was before.
Yep.
Item preview on the trading post. This has been awesome.
Welcome change, yep.
Yes. Just catching up with the times, something that MMO players are used to, but it's so neat. I know for a fact this has made people want to go after legendaries. People that swore off legendaries completely as a waste of time and money are now going after legendaries because they were able to preview the legendary on the trading post. I won't mention any names because I know he's going to take a ton of flack for it when the rest of the guild finds out. Yeah.
Is that why he's been unlocking the Temple of Balthazar and running dungeons?
Yeah.
We're not mentioning any names here.
No names. No names. But if you're paying attention in our guild, you'll understand why he's suddenly doing those things.
He used to hate dungeon running all the time. Okay.
Oh, yes. He really did. We'll leave him alone. We won't spoil it for him.
But we won't pick on him.
He's going to get enough of it. The guild missions came into the guild mission system came into the game, and I haven't been able to do this yet. You got to do your first one tonight, right?
Yep. Yeah. First one tonight. Our guild actually did the first one last night, and tonight was the first night I was with them. We did the bounty. We did the three-person bounty. And we got it done with probably about, say, 2 minutes left out of the 15 with three. And three is enough where we could go to each map as a Zerg, basically, search around, find the guy, kill him, and move on to the next map. When you get to any higher level, you're going to have a big enough guild where you can have separate parties start looking for people and killing them in different maps, because there's no way you're going to be able to do what we did with more than three.
Be interesting when it gets to that level. I'm looking forward to actually getting to try one.
So it was fun, and the loot's worth it. I mean, you get the 2 tokens, which you need 12 of them and 5 gold to get an ascended accessory. And then the guild gets their tokens, and the player gets 50 silver as well, and 2 rare or above pieces of, you know, that'll get you ectos. So you net out a pretty good loot for it, and you can do it once a week. So it's worthwhile to do if your guild's up for it.
Cool. Beyond that, the structured PvP map Spirit Watch is also in the patch. I got a chance to play in this today. This map is something, as similar as it is to the other maps, it's something completely different. And really, so you have the one focal point being the orb on this map, and it is a mad dash for that orb at the beginning. And that whole match, most of the teams, and I'm wondering if this is going to change up as people realize it, because I won the couple of matches we played. My team won, but my team was actively capping the 3 points. And it seemed like the other team was actively going after the orb. And I'm wondering if there isn't going to be such a focus on the orb as people learn that this is the point and cap aspect of it could win you the match. But we had a couple of people out on the different capture points capping them, but the center where that orb is just a cluster of people. Like, it's like, other than 2-3 guys going out and catching it, everyone else is right there fighting over that orb, and it is so fantastic and so fun and so chaotic and messy, and I love my Mesmer in that situation because I can just get lost in amongst my clones and disappear and reappear and blink and... Oh, yeah, my Mesmer and structured PvP is making me very happy suddenly. So
it's nice.
It was a lot of fun today. I actually want to go back and play structured PvP, whereas the last time I went and played it with my thief, I didn't really want to go back and play when I was done. So they updated the rewards, which has seen more people looking for these large chests in the world, the chests you get from the Lesser Dragons and from the Shadow Behemoth and the Maw and stuff. People are actively looking at all these now. Dragon Timers has timers for them all now. A guaranteed rare, it seems. Have you experienced anything less than that?
I killed Claw of Jormag and only got 3 blues out of that chest. So it isn't a guaranteed rare, but it's much, much higher. Before you're almost guaranteed not to get a rare. You're getting blues and greens all the time, and I think out of the 4 I've opened this weekend, I've probably had rares in 3 of them. So
yeah,
it's much higher, and you can evidence that by the price of ectos on the trading post. It's come down. On our server, it was up near 38-39 before the patch, and now it's down to 29, so it's come down almost a third of the price over the course of the weekend.
That's actually really nice, thank god. I need some echoes for some things I'm trying to put together. No legendary, though. I went for more guaranteed stuff. I don't want any of this random chance stuff going on, throwing stuff in the mystic toilet.
Yeah, basically.
Flush it away. So, and then, of course, you got your usual balances and bug fixes. The thieves of note can no longer... cloak and dagger walls to stay stealth inside of towers and keeps in World v. World, which is kind of nice. But other than that, they're still just as deadly, stomping on people. Elementalists got a huge nerf hammer, it seems. They ride the lightning and an increased cooldown and shocking aura.
And the auras, they decreased the times the buffs last for the auras. I mean, elementalists weren't that fantastic before. I don't know why they hammered us now. How many elementalists do you see generally? I mean, besides the ones using rain fire on everybody, but other than that, they don't really.
Yeah. Or even that said, they had been watching them in World v. World for about a month. That they were a problem child in World v. World. They were doing things they didn't want them to be able to do. So.
Well, there's not a whole lot they can do, so...
Yeah.
That's the problem. They're kind of a jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none type of class right now, and they're... that's why I'm playing a Guardian more than anything now, is because I got sick of playing my Ellie. I still have an AD Ellie, and I can't make her do anything well.
Yep. And everyone freaked out when the patch notes came out because this little thing was in there for Mesmers. Mesmer portals can no longer be interacted with when there is an obstruction between them and the player. And everyone freaked out thinking this meant between the enter portal and the exit portal.
No.
That's not the case, people. What there was a bug where you could place your portal on the other side of a wall and then interact with it and get into that wall. So they've taken away that ability. It states between your character and the enter portal. If there's an obstruction there, you'll no longer be able to do it. It's not from the entrance portal to the exit portal. If you want a portal entrance to exit over a wall or through a wall, you can still do it. You can still port in the jumping puzzle. It's all good. Speaking of which, I did a lot of porting in the jumping puzzle. I think it was Thursday night. I announced it, and I swear I ported 100 people in the 10 nice. Minutes I was standing there. It was fantastic. I felt useful. Which is always good. We always want to feel useful, right?
I got to get you to do that for me so I can finish up my badges. I can just go kill people, one of the two.
I got
to
run the puzzle first. let's see. Structured PvP, the two-team quick tournaments no longer cost tickets. They're taking basically all the paid tournament structures out because they initially had wanted that to be a division between the super Uber PvP crowd and the casual structured PvP crowd, and they just found that tournaments versus the hot join queue really kind of defined that line pretty well. So they're taking away the paid entrance fee to tournaments. There's now a join solo button in the tournament browser. A couple of things there. Let's see, scrolling down. I did a couple things in the gem store. A plush char backpack cover is now. So you have a char backpack and a quaggan backpack. And now in the black lion chests, there are rare skins for those, which is a pink quaggan skin and a striped char skin. Ching, ching, ching.
Yeah, and that keeps finding ways to get people to buy gems. Cute, fuzzy backpacks seem to be popular right now.
It's working. Yeah. Yeah, I know we were discussing it last night. This game does not have, and we've said it before on the show, this game doesn't have a subscription fee.
Yep.
But we've both probably paid a subscription fees worth of money to the gem shop for the last 6 months.
Yep, I have. I've said I've spent as much on Guild Wars as I would have if I was still playing WoW. Yep. But, you know, I haven't really bought cosmetic upgrades for my character. I'm buying more functional stuff, but... That's just me.
Yeah.
Some people like the cosmetic upgrades. I like my character to look good. I did buy that armor for my guardian, I guess.
Yep.
That was my only cosmetic purchase, though.
Yep. Oh, let's see. There were improvements. There's 9 new hair colors and eye colors to the Total Makeover Kit and Self-Style Hair Kits. And these colors are all winter-based. They're all like blues and dark blues and blacks and light blues, and they're really kind of cool colors. Like, you can get midnight ice for your hair now, which gives you a dark.
Interesting.
It's kind of purple. Yeah, there's purple. There's bright purples and pinks and stuff. it's like a Mesmer hair color salon. That whole purple theme they got going on.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me think I should probably buy one and dye my Mesmer's hair purple. Be interesting. Wonder how much that would be in gold right now. We'll look at that later. Evan Nashblade's Box of Fun now has some neat little things with it. There is a chance to give the Dancing Spirit buff. This buff grants the character temporary access to 3 short dances. These dances will take up the utility slots on the skill bar, and when they are activated, your character will perform some new dance moves. The Dancing Spirit buffs last 10 minutes, but entering combat will remove that buff. So, new dances, but they put them inside the Box of Fun, which is, okay. Just put them on the store. Let us buy them permanently.
Yeah, but the Box of Fun is a nice, unique thing to do if somebody has one to drop after. So, like, I think someone dropped one tonight after we finished the guild event.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it's kind of a celebration type thing.
Yep, and if with the costume brawl being a daily achievement occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a costume brawl. That was, were you there the night that one of our guildies got a box of fun on their daily when we were in World v. World?
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, gosh.
You guys were trying to defend the keep with the box of fun in it.
Yeah. We had the box of fun, and we all switched out in the costumes, and the opposing server came out, and we all rushed out the door in costume. It's hilarious. Things you can do when you're far ahead in the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't going to be doing that for a while, it seems. And then, of course, bug fixes. The Silvari who use the Total Makeover kit can now adjust their glow, which is, if you're a Silvari and you've wanted to use a Total Makeover kit, now you can without any repercussions or missing out on anything.
Congrats, Silvari. I'm sorry, I play humans.
Next thing we're going to talk about is the Living Story Evolution blog post that went up. And that went up on Thursday from Angela McCoy. And basically, it just outlines their storytelling. And she basically says, this is right from the blog post. And these first couple of months of teaser content have allowed us to ramp up to make a long-term Living Story an even fuller and more satisfying experience for you all. As the designers come off other projects and joined us, we've increased the amount of content we'll be delivering starting at the end of March. So it sounds like they've kind of had only a couple of people working on this and might explain the lack of a boom type event when this thing is happening and really the slow burn of this starting up. We're also listening to your feedback and tweaking our content here and there in response. We've been reading what you've been saying about Guild Wars 2 on the forums and across the internet. So if you're posting on forums, Reddit or the official forums or Guild Wars 2 Guru or whatever, they're reading it. They're taking it to heart. So just don't be a dink about it when you make your post. Make it constructive and logical and voice your grievances. They'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to know. It's really kind of cool that you see that. And occasionally you'll see some of them post in on other forums like that on Guild Wars Guru or something. It's nice to see them out there. So where to go and what to do. There's the heralds at the exits of every city. They're going to continue utilizing these. So like you said earlier, just going back and checking what the herald should tell you whether or not something new has happened. So those little orange stars in the city, check them out.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they, so far they haven't relied on the heralds. They've used the patch notes to tell people when new stuff's coming in because they haven't introduced anything in between patches. I'm thinking that'll happen this month sometime.
Yeah.
So then it'll be up to everybody to find out through the herald what to do. I think that's their intent with this eventually, is to get to the point where they're not telling everybody what's happening, and that you kind of figure it out on your own.
Well, that's this paragraph on your own. Read this one paragraph out of the middle of here, and it's called Payoff. We've had long meetings with most our colorful thinking caps on to discuss how we will pay off all your patience during these early months of teaser content, and we've come up with some thrilling storylines that we feel will keep you intrigued and get you even more deeply involved into the ongoing progress of the Living Story. Aside from the Living Story's main characters, we'll also be surprising you with interesting villains, one of whom will become your personal nemesis. Again, no spoilers allowed, so I can't tell you more than that, but you'll recognize the sassy character when you see him, her, it grin. So, I'm wondering if this isn't going to be someone out of our personal storyline? Like, Okay. I'm gonna call it. Time out. Spoiler alert! If you haven't played through your personal storyline, I'm about to blow something big. So if you don't want to listen, jump forward a minute. Okay, there's your warning. Go ahead, jump forward a minute. All right. Here it is. My theory. Risen Tybalt. He's gonna come back. He's gonna be used by someone that's in leagues with the Risen. They're going to raise him up and send him after you. And that could go for who are the other two? Cyan?
I don't remember their names, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Each, in each personal story, there's a mentor who gets killed in the event with Claw Island, is it?
Mm-hmm.
So that personal mentor coming back as a risen nemesis.
Could be.
Yeah, could be.
Interesting twist. All right, we'll end the spoilers there. So it's safe to come back now if you spoil. Not that you'd hear this. You're just jumping forward a minute, but you're safe now. So, it looks like March is going to really start the payoff of this slow burn of a storyline. Can only hope.
Yeah, get it moving.
Thank God they've put enough other. And the problem is they're gonna do the payoff in March, and in March is also this huge World New World patch.
Mm-hmm. Oh. There's a lot to do right now. They're definitely not lacking things to keep you busy.
Yeah. It's like, I want to get back in structured PvP. I want to do guild missions. And
yeah, it's like the same thing. I want to farm some of the stuff, some of the crafting mats and things for my legendary. And every time I do, it's, oh, somebody's running COF. Somebody's running this. Somebody's doing a fractal. And I'd rather do those things than farm. Farm is not high on my priority list. I need to farm. I just,
no, you don't. You are not actively pursuing your legendary.
True, but
you're casually walking towards it.
Get it. I still want to get it.
You'll get there. Dude, you got so much more crap in your bank than I do. I couldn't believe that last night. I sell all my stuff, so
yeah, I'm holding on to it all until I max out all my crafting professions. Then I'll sell everything that isn't 400. But yep. For now I still need to max out artificing, leatherworking, and what's the last one? Huntsman.
Cool.
Those three I need to max out yet. Everything else I think I'm maxed.
Yeah, I'm just sitting on armorsmithing. That's the only one, and I'm sure I'll have my warrior or my guardian do that. Oh, next up on the list of news, there was a World v World interview with Habib Lo on MMORPG.com talking about the upcoming March patch. And I culled it down to a couple of highlights. He says the two main priorities for this patch are to eliminate culling completely.
Yay.
And to add in World v World progression for players. So let's talk a little bit about what he said about eliminating culling first. Basically, January and February were just minor tweaks to the existing system. They didn't change the system itself. They just tweaked it to show more of your enemies than your allies in most instances. In February, they had that whole dummy armor shadow player look thing. But in March, they're going to remove it completely. They're going to take the system away that actually culls people, and they're going to give rendering options to the players. And I imagine this will be like what we got with the colors in PvP situations, where you're going to have the, like, maybe a character outline or silhouette, and then maybe this dummy armor set for whatever class it is, and then maybe just full on just render the characters, and people with higher end machines can just turn it all on and be happy.
And people who have lower end machines can
deal with lag.
They'll deal with lag until they figure out what settings it works best on, just like you do with the graphics of the game regularly.
Yep. I'm hoping they leave a checkbox to actually keep the culling on, because I think that there are some people that would actually leave it on in certain situations. I mean, there are for the most part those oh my god situations where, oh, that's only 5 guys, oh no, that's 50 guys. Everyone gets those once in a while, but for the most part, I mean, like when we run small man teams in our guild, sometimes 3-4 man teams go around capping supply camps and such. That's, you can turn the culling on then and not have to worry about it and just have maximum performance. So let's move on to this next topic, the progression for World v World players. This is what I'm really excited about.
Mm. Give you something more to play for than just waiting for your promotion every 3 months or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually get promoted.
What they're going to do is introduce, very similar to the way you have glory in structured PvP, they're going to introduce world XP, world experience. Basically, anything you gather experience for in World v. World, you will also get world experience for. So, killing other people, capping points, capping keeps and towers, flipping supply camps. Those experience bonuses will also give you world experience. So, it's kind of neat. The question is, what happens with your world experience? Your world experience will earn you ranks, which is actually very, very cool. And I hope they somehow lump the commander book into this system, because that would be very, very cool. Your world XP will replace, you know how you see characters in game when you're fighting, they'll say Borless Pass Invader. Instead of saying Invader, it's going to say something, it'll say like Private. And then maybe Corporal and Sergeant and Staff Sergeant and or such or however.
Yeah, they'll have some sort of convention to keep some sort of hierarchy.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to tell slightly how good a player is by their title.
Could be how good they are, how much.
Not just the little down arrow next to their number.
The crazy thing is going to see when you see like a high ranking guy with that down arrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, what? Hey, huh? So, and I'm wondering if you will get that. Like, will your title be account based? So that, like, if you go in there with a newly minted character, level 4 or 5, whatever, then you're upscaled and you have like the colonel, general, master person title next to that little down arrow. Is that going to be a
account based or character based? How they'll do it? How they do it in SPVP? It's account based, isn't it?
It's account based. But they give you like breakdowns of all your classes, how much you've played each class, and which ones are your favorites, and which maps are your favorite, which is kind of weird for me because it just happens to be the maps I stumble across because I get in a random queue and it cycles. So,
yeah. I imagine if it's account based in SPVP, it'll be account based in World v. World, but you never know. It might switch it up.
Now, what are these titles gonna mean for you? Well, this is great. You get words next to your name for killing stuff and doing stuff you do in World v. World. Well, each title, you have an individual title with a rank. Each rank gives you a certain amount of points or badges. I don't know what they are exactly. But you're going to be able to use these to buy abilities for World v. World. And this is actually kind of neat because I think you're going to eventually start seeing groups specialized in doing certain things. Some of the abilities they've mentioned are general passive style abilities to start. They're going to continue adding to this, such as more damage to guards or taking less damage from siege, carrying more supply, stuff like that. And there isn't going to be any restrictions on as far as what class can have any of these abilities.
Yeah, and I was talking about last time when I heard about this that I can see, you know, for example, I can see elementalists and rangers taking a trait that would do more damage to siege, and basically then you'll have a rolling siege destroyer with elementalists and rangers, and they'll sit back at the keeps and defend the doors.
Yep. And I wonder if this will really give you like specialized groups. Really, like you'll have a group where like your guardian will take less damage from siege, and you'll have like your thieves or whatever carry more supplies so that they can get in, build whatever flame ram or whatever, and then get out of there. And then you send your guardian in to actually use the flame ram so that when they dump the bucket of oil on you, if you haven't killed, which you should kill the bucket of oil first, good World v. World practice. But yeah, certain things like that I could totally see.
I imagine on the upper tiers that they'll organize and they'll use these buffs in very specific ways for very specific classes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it'll become part of the strategy. Maybe down in the tiers that we play on, it won't be, but in the tiers that where you're up near the top, yeah, I think you're going to see specific classes being drawn towards different abilities that fit their role in the World v. World game.
Yeah. I wonder if there's going to be a passive speed buff. That doesn't You're stack fascinated. With your class ones.
Well, that doesn't stack?
That doesn't stack with your classes. So that it kind of levels the playing field at 25% speed increase.
It'd free up a utility slot, too, for a lot of people who have to put signets in there to get that speed boost.
Yeah. But I don't know, something like that, I would have a feeling every player would gravitate towards that almost.
Mm-hmm.
Although a thief might gravitate towards some of the other stuff because they can pick that up through a signet.
Oh, so can most classes. Most classes have a signet that gives you the 25% speed buff. It's just whether you want to devote a utility slot to carrying it with you all the time.
Yeah. It helps that the thief's active ability on that signet's pretty good too. So, one more little note he had here before he closed out the interview. They're looking into notification for guild claiming. How do I explain what this is exactly?
They want to give people some prestige for actually, when you accomplish taking a keep or taking a tower, again, let the guild get a pat on the back for doing a good job.
Yeah, there was a thing I remember back in Guild Wars 1, and I think this is kind of what they're talking about, was you'd have servers, or not servers, guilds fighting for, forget what it's called, the mists or whatever, and there was something special you get when you control it. Oh, the statues would give you buffs around if you knelt at them, and something else. Oh, the door to the underworld, I think, was, God, it's been a long time since I played Guild Wars 1. Anyways, it would come across occasionally, so-and-so guild has unlocked this, and it would be a system-wide announcement where I could see something like in map chat, if a guild came in and took a keep or something, it's, this guild has claimed this keep, and I don't know.
Yeah, well, now they've introduced, with missions, they've introduced a new currency for the guilds themselves that allow the guilds to get more upgrades. So you might see that start to invade Worldly World, where by claiming keeps, by claiming towers for your guild, you earn some of that currency.
Yeah.
For your guild. And by the way, speaking of currency real quick here, it would be very nice if Anet would add a tab to the bank for currency or tokens, because I'm just getting filled up with these things. I mean, God, do you have a token for everything? I got the laurels at least have their own little specified place, and they don't take up your inventory spot, but the missions have their own token now. All the dungeons have their own tokens that you got to keep. The fractals of the mist have their tokens. Everything has its token. So give me a tab for just my tokens to go into, because it's really starting to eat into my bank space.
they want you to buy more
bank slots. I know they want me to buy another bank tab. Well,
we'll get there eventually, right?
I'm going to have tokens up the wazoo here pretty soon. It's like, come on. Yeah. Every new thing they introduce is a new token. Well, give me a place to put all my tokens.
Yeah. Well, that's tokens fill up your bank, your costumes fill up your bank, and just everything. Holiday skins. I'm still hanging on to a candy cane hammer skin and a slingshot skin.
I got all that stuff.
I actually like the slingshot one. The slingshot one's pretty cool. The candy cane hammer. Yeah. But I'm hanging on to them because they're neat. And maybe I'll sell them. Or are they a compound? They might be a compound, which would stink. Anyway, he ended the below, that is, ended the interview with this message. The biggest message I have for World v World players is that this is not the last patch we are doing. We have a lot more planned. Plenty of stuff is queued up for future patches. We are really taking time to make sure we get things right before we release them. Also, we do not want to make the mistake of making too many changes at one time, which could break parts of World v World. And we are very happy to give you this early look at the March build. Thanks again. So, they aren't done. Even if March rolls around and you go, oh my gosh, this stinks, they aren't done yet.
That's part of an MMO. They're never done. They're always the only constant with MMOs is change, and there will always be tweaks happening. Hopefully change. For the better.
Change in forum trolls. Two constants with MMO. Now that's going to wrap up our new segment this evening, and we are going to move on to our top three this week. And our top three this week is professions. Got to choose it right away at the beginning of the game. We all have them. We all have our favorites. We all have our main character we like to play, our main profession. We're going to go through our top three professions. So take her away, buddy.
Okay. Well, I kind of looked at mine from how they play in the three different aspects of the game. That was PvP, SPVP, World v. World, and PvE. And my third one was the Ranger class. In PvE, I think the Ranger class is excellent. Your pet gives you a nice buffer between you and the enemy. You don't die a lot. It's a very easy class to pick up and play for new players. I found it very easy to play and forgiving in PvE. In World v. World, they're very helpful. Their raining arrows ability is great for defending towers, crippling enemies, taking large AoEs, and their pets are even more useful in taking out siege that maybe that you can't get to.
Actually, that got nerfed this patch. Oh, I forgot to mention that in the patch notes. Yeah, they got hit with that one. Guard no longer sends your pet up towers, which stinks.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe the Ranger's not as good in World v. World anymore.
Still fun.
Still a good class. Number two, I put the Thief. Everybody knows the Thieves in PvP are overpowered, and that's why when you play PvP, you'll see that most times the top ranks are Thieves. Their glass cannon build and their ability to completely remove themselves from combat makes them deadly in PvP. You can't lock onto them because as soon as you do, they disappear. But I find with my Thief playing in PvE, they're not as useful there when you get into big mobs of enemies with high hit points, boss fights type things in dungeons. They can't take a hit. You got your glass cannon builds, unless you play condition.
Yep.
But then you got to flip gear and flip traits. And it's a lot of work. So that's why my number one is of course the class I play the most is the Guardian. I find the class does everything well. You can dungeon run with it. You don't get hammered. You got the defense. You do enough damage to be noticeable. You're not a glass cannon, but then again, when you run into those glass cannon thieves, they can't kill you in one hit.
Yeah.
Your Guardian can stand up to that. You can recover well. Your shouts give boons and benefits to the rest of the party, so you're not just helping yourself, but you're helping the party. So I find the Guardian to be my most enjoyable class all around, no matter what environment I'm in.
Cool. For me, I was wondering what should we do for top three, and then when I said professions, like, oh gosh, okay. Do I just go with my, I mean, my initial thing was to go Ranger, Thief, Mesmer, because those are my three level 80s, my three that I play. And I really kind of took this in a different direction thinking about it. My criteria was what is unique specifically to like Guild Wars 2? How does Guild Wars 2 make things different? And my number three is Thief. Now y'all say, okay, every game's got the backstabby dagger class stuff, but the way they've actually made the stealth work in this game, it took me a while to wrap my head around it, but the temporary timers on the stealth, you can't hit stealth and then just be gone like you can in WoW. Or some of the other games I've played, it's really kind of, you have limited amounts of stealth and you need to manage those. And I really kind of like the take on it. The dual pistols is cool. Shortbow, giving you that range option for that typical backstab sneaky type class. Number two, went with the engineer. Again, not many fantasy MMOs do something like the engineer. I think it's kind of driven by where they set their world in, like a tech-driven style world where they have the gunpowder technology and the turret technology and stuff. Really neat of them to bring an engineer class, a class that's all gadgets type thing, and grenades and bombs. It's really fun and really unique, and I've really enjoyed it. And number one, then, in that case, has to be the Mesmer. There has never been another MMO that I've played that has had anything remotely like the Mesmer in it. And it is such a different and refreshing change of pace, because it isn't a necromancer or dark magician, and it isn't your typical elemental type magician, mage, elementalist type class. It's that whole screw with your opponent's head type thing and kind of mess them up that way through deceiving them with magic. And
a conjurer.
Yes, I really enjoy that. Enchanters were kind of like that way back in EverQuest, I remember, but you don't see that archetype of a class very much so.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. My first 80, the one I played all the way to 80, and I got my map completion on, is my Elementalist, and I didn't even put it in the top three. I do not like the way the Elementalist class has gone.
Yeah.
Since release, like I said, they're jack of all trades, master of none. And each class, you roll through the classes, and some of them have very defined roles that they're very good at. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you can play them different ways. You don't have to play a tanky guardian. You can actually play a burst damage DPS guardian if you want. But it's not...
Retaliation.
It's probably as effective. If you wanted to play a heavy armor class and you want to do burst damage, you'd probably take the warrior. The warrior's more... offensive based, and the Guardian's more defensive based for heavy armor. So they each have kind of their roles and where they fit in, and unfortunately that's what's ticking me off about the Elementalists, is that they don't fill a role anymore. They have the ability to heal, which is unique to the Elementalist, but you don't get credit for killing anything when you're healing. You can heal party all you want, you don't get any loot for healing the rest of the party. So you know, Anet did a little bit of help with that in this patch by reducing the amount of damage you have to do to be considered for loot, but you still can't consider healing as a, you know, it's a benefit to the group, but not a benefit to the player who's doing it.
Yeah.
They need to find a way to reward players for being, and I think they reward players for not just healing, but some of the other classes that can really provide a lot of boons and buffs and help a team win through doing support roles. When Guild Wars was announced, they said we're going to get rid of the Trinity, and we're going to have a support, you know, utility, and we're going to have these different roles that everybody can play, but really only damage dealing gets rewarded.
Yeah,
which is difficult. You know, is one of the reasons why thieves are so popular.
Yeah, and it's kind of, and it's funny because I hear people say that they've done away with the Holy Trinity, and they really haven't. They've changed the definition of the Holy Trinity, and they didn't limit it to any classes, is really what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And they've kind of allowed everyone. And it's funny because WoW, as we were nearing our end of our WoW career, we're really starting to give every class a tank spec, damage spec, and healing spec. There's a lot of bleed over on... especially the hybrid classes would have all three, and then the classes that weren't hybrids would have at least two of them. So mm-hmm. I think they're understanding that the need for the flexibility in the classes. So,
unless you were a rogue.
Unless you were a rogue.
Damage. They never made a healing rogue, and they never made a tanky rogue.
Nope. You did. You had some control aspects, though, but that was about it.
Rogue stealth damage. That's about all we did.
Yeah. So that's our top three this week. What are your top three professions? Email us at burninglocks@gmail.com or tweet at us at burninglocks on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. Give us your ideas, what you really enjoy playing. We'll get some little discussion here going about what your top three professions are. And that is going to close out our show. Like I said, email burninglocks@gmail.com, Twitter @burninglocks. Get in touch with us. Let us know how we're doing. Complain, criticize, however you feel.
Give us suggestions. We like to hear suggestions.
Yeah,
we'll talk about anything.
You have a top three you want us to talk about? We'll do your top three. I did get a top three from Obi, but we need to play a couple more things before we can actually make that top three happen. But we'll make that one happen soon, Obi.
We need to finish our storylines.
Yes.
Hurrah.
So, Sadly, it's one thing I have not really focused on is my storylines. So
I just want to do it once. I just want to kill Zaitan once.
Yeah. So that's the show. I have been your host, JC. He has been Rick.
Dylan.
Until next time.
Adios.
By Plasma 3 Music. No copyright infringement is intended.